tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And in today's topic and episode, we are going to discuss in the mind of a selfish person. Yes, and it is a serious topic where we find some around us, people around us. Maybe we could be the ones who have this selfish tendencies as opposed to our pious predecessors. Those we look up to, they were selfless people, subhanAllah. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, this should actually teach us that Islam does not promote selfishness. But Islam promotes selflessness on the other hand, subhanAllah. And these are the two opposite of the spectrum. On one hand, we have selflessness, meaning a selfless person looking out for the good of the next person, even to their own detriment at times. And on the other hand, we have someone who is selfish, who wants to have all the good happen to himself and nobody else must be able to enjoy any of this. And this is the nature of a selfish person, where you want everything for yourself. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will explore further as we discuss this topic with our colleague Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakullah Sayyidi marhaba once again. And I always look forward to this moment where we could have a heartfelt discussion.
Barakallahu alayhi.
Alhamdulillah, and discuss the topics from Islamic point of view in the light of Quran, Hadith, and the guidance of our pious predecessors at the same time. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, before we start the topic, let's begin with the recitation of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, Sayyidi, in this topic that we have chosen for today, in the mind of a selfish person, I mean, it is very common to find this kind of people, and they are very easy to be identified in the first instance, that such a person does not worry about others as long as they got what they need,
right,
and then they don't worry about the rest. Now, this is not how a functional human society is supposed to be, right? We learn to share things,
right?
For example, even as children, the parents, when they would bring fruits from the market, let's say, for example, they have like four children, right? They brought maybe 6-7 fruits from the market. They wouldn't gobble them all themselves, but they would first give to all the children.
Right.
And if there is something remaining from there, then they would eat it in themselves. The quality of the leadership, the leader eats right at the end when everyone has eaten. He first wants to ensure that each and everyone, those who attended, they all have satiated, and then he would drink himself. So like that, we are taught from the very childhood that these are the values. These are the Islamic values. These are the values that are, alhamdulillah, actually appreciated in a person. Selfless people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remember the instance where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and he was hungry, he was thirsty. And a bowl of milk was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gives it to Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he commands him. He is so hungry, for days he hasn't eaten anything. and he tells him to pass it on to all the other Sahaba. Once they all have drunk, then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is given to drink. He drinks and drinks and drinks, and he doesn't want to finish the milk. Subhanallah. And he drinks to satisfaction until he says, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot drink anymore.
Allah.
I'm fully satiated.
Allah.
So, in that also, there was a lesson to feed others, and then you eat yourself. Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the lady of paradise, subhanallah. So she is the leader of women folk in paradise. Yet what was her teachings? Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the elder brother of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that one day he sees his mother, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, as it was always the case that she would perform a long rakat of salah and long sajda, subhanallah. And after she was done with his prayers, she would raise her hands in dua. And after all these prayers, she is not asking anything for herself. She is making dua for the ummah, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Imam Hassan, the child, he asks, Mommy, you haven't asked anything for yourself. She said, Hassan, awwal al-jar, meaning first come the neighbors, then we come, summadar, subhanallah. And this was the teachings of the Mubarak household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also remember the example where Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she herself, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the maid, the female servant, Sayyida Fidda radiallahu ta'ala anha, they have taken a vow when Hassanayn Karimayn, they became ill, and she took a vow in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, if they recover, then I would fast for 3 consecutive days Allah for your pleasure. And all these 3 days, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought some bread. I mean, he brought flour, actually. And the bread was made with that flour.
Right.
On all the 3 days, there was nothing else to eat at home. So that bread was the only thing that they could eat and open their fast.
Right.
So the first day of fast, a person comes and asks whatever is available, food to be given. And they give the iftar, the entire iftar, to the needy person. Second day, another person comes, they give all of it in the path of Allah. Third day, same thing happens. And all 3 days, they had opened their fast just by drinking water.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action, this selfless action of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he has mentioned in the glorious Quran.
Subhanallah.
So this is the Islamic value, Islamic teachings, to always look out for the betterment of others.
Also, Munasab, we learn this from the hadith, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guides us and teaches us that none of you can be a complete believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This is so, you know, beautiful, it is so profound that a person who does not have this attribute or this quality in him, such a person is deemed as a selfish person. You know, when he does not want the same for his next brother, for his next fellow Muslim, what he loves for himself. He wants the next person to not have anything at all or to have less of what he has. So this we see, you know, of how a selfish person is. And this, with being a selfish person, it comes with, you know, not wanting to benefit others, not wanting others to gain benefit from you. You know, when a person is selfish, right, then they will think it's either my way or the highway. You know, there is no other way around it. This is, you know, the thinking and the mentality of a person who is selfish. And this is something that is not encouraged in Islam. Something that is not, you know, allowed in Islam for a person to be selfish, because due to a person being selfish, so many other sins get involved in it automatically.
Allah.
How? For example, a person may not want someone to succeed. Say two of them were friends and their whole life they've been friends. But now one of them, they started to get selfish and they started to only want success to themselves. They only wanted to excel, but their partner, they wanted their partner to go down in life, not to gain success. All the success must be only for that one person. This is what happens to a selfish person, where the degrading of other fellow Muslims also happens, which is a sin, because in Islam, we are taught to uphold the honor, dignity, and respect of other fellow Muslims. Yes. But when a person is selfish, then it's quite difficult for that person to do that. The other part that we see, the other sin that we see involved in this, where a person is selfish, is that at times he may even violate the rights of other people. And violating the rights of other people is so severe that it is mentioned, until that person whose right you have violated, until that person does not forgive you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive you.
Allah.
So first we have to go to that person, make sincere tawbah first, go to that person, ask him for maaf, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So we see through one door, so many other sins are opening up, and that one door, selfishness, opens up so many other sins, so many other vices within our society, even within our family itself, where you may get, for example, you may get a brother who's selfish and doesn't want his sibling to prosper, doesn't want to give anything to his sibling. I mean, how does a selfish person grow in life? How does a selfish person gain success in life? A selfish person never ever gains success. Why? Because, first of all, by him being selfish, he is limiting himself to learning something new. And when you don't learn something new, how do you progress in life? How do you grow in life? A selfish person will always think that for me, the cup is full. The cup is always full. You know, my cup is never empty. My cup is always full. A selfish person would think in this way because he would think that he knows it all. And that attitude, that mentality, it actually stops a person from learning something more, from learning something beneficial, from learning from others, you know. And this is the cause that we see such people, they are stagnant in life. They are not moving forward because of being selfish. Imagine if you have to do the opposite of that, which is selflessness, then how much better society will be, how much better one's family will be, one's life will be, and the life around him will be, how much better it would be. I mean, look at the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the expedition of Yarmouk. The one companion asked for water, and he went with this water to give it to him. And when he went to him, they heard another person sighing. And when they looked towards that person, they saw that that person, he is on his last breath, and he also wants water. So this person, he said, you know what, leave me. Go and give the water to him.
Subhanallah.
The sahabi, he goes towards that person with the water. And when he goes towards him, they hear a sigh also coming from another person. They look towards that direction and they see that there is another companion also laying there, almost close to gaining martyrdom. He also wants water. So this companion, he says that, you know what, leave me. Go to him. When he goes to him, by the time he reaches him, the third companion, he already tasted martyrdom. He already quenched his thirst with martyrdom. When he came back to the second companion, he also gained martyrdom. And when he went towards the first companion, he realized and saw that that companion also attained martyrdom. So look at this selflessness. how they were not concerned about their own well-being, they were not concerned only about themselves, but they were concerned about others as well. They felt it that, you know what, I need to make sure that my next brother is okay. And this is the conduct, this is the mindset that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. You know, so this is also something that we need to abstain from, not being a selfish person. You know, as children, when children are small, then oftentimes we see that the child would have his toy and only he would want to play with it. He wouldn't want to let other children play with it. Yes. And as parents, you know, we tell them that let your brother play with it, share with him also. And when it's told to them, then we see the child lovingly, he would give the toy. Why? Because the parents, they put it in a nice way to him, to make him selfless and make him see out, make him watch out for his brother. And then he would give that the toy to his brother. So we see, if we want to remove the selfishness from society, it begins in our own home. By tarbiyah, the upbringing we give to our children, because they are our future leaders for tomorrow. And this upbringing, if we give it to them from such a young age, then tomorrow when they are married and the other brother is down in life, then this brother, because he has the selfless conduct and trait in him, he will see to his brother. But on the other hand, if from childhood he wasn't taught that, and when his brother is down in life, is battling in life, how would this brother now help him? Because he is embedded with selfishness. How will he help him? He can't. He would actually be happy to see his brother going down, because he wants everything to himself. He wants all of the success. So that's why it's important that we also educate and teach our family members, teach our children at a young age about the harms of selfishness as well.
SubhanAllah, Sayyidi. And at the same time, teaches them about the bigger picture.
100%.
In the childhood, they are taught to share their toys, share their food, share their meal. SubhanAllah. Yes. And my child, he goes to Islamic school, and he, at times, he says, you know, we shared today our meal with our friends, they shared the cucumber, the bananas with them, and he shared his own sandwich with them. Said, mashallah, very good. So you don't discourage it, you encourage it. And this is how they will learn, and this is inshallah.
And then we can give them some credit for it to boost them up.
Exactly. And then when they grow up, they'll see a bigger picture. They'll see the bigger picture. Now what's happening around the world is big corporates, right? And capitalism is on the rise. Right. And at the same time, there are people who are monopolizing a certain industry altogether. Meaning they don't want anyone to give a breathing chance to even come up. You know, bigger fish are swallowing the smaller fish. And this is what's apparent, what's seen. And in this way, nobody else thrives in that certain industry or certain field. Now, this is now being selfish in a bigger scheme of things. At the same time, look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they would portray their brotherhood. It is mentioned that in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahaba, the migrant Sahaba, who migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were the residents of Madinah Munawwara, whom we call Ansar. Right. So the Muhajir Sahaba, when they reached Madinah Munawwara, the Ansar, they were made brothers to one another. And how they shared their resources, their properties, their assets. If they had two properties, they gave one to their Muhajir brother. SubhanAllah. Look at selflessness here. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged it. He encouraged it that if you have enough, share it with others. And inshallah, in this way, everyone gets a chance to survive. Imagine if you, in the childhood, your children that you are training in their childhood not to be generous, not to be selfless. When they grow big, they are going to be such people who will not give even 1 cent in charity.
Allah.
Because they never learned to share what it is to share. It is an alien concept to them. So it is very important that we inculcate this teaching from their very childhood.
Yes.
That your wealth only grows by spending it in the path of Allah, by helping someone, using the same money. It won't decrease, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause it to increase.
Subhanallah.
One great wealthy person, very wealthy, in the history of Islam, actually in Quran he is mentioned, that wealthy person is Qarun. The treasures of his chest, you know, the treasure chest, its keys, would be traveling on camels. This is how vast his treasures were. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. But when it came to share it with others, zakat in our time is 2.5%. But he was commanded to offer way less than what we offer. But he became stingy. When he calculated all of it, he said, no, this is too much for me to let go of.
Allah.
And then he became the enemy of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He started spreading rumors about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Because of his selfishness, because of his stinginess, because of his miserliness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him and his treasures to sink into the earth, and they will keep on sinking until the day of judgment.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. This was the end result of the selfish person. So we shouldn't be like those selfish people who are violating the rights of others so they could have the upper hand. I mean, these kind of people in the mind of a selfish person, as our topic is, they feel privileged.
Right.
They feel deserving, worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve this. I demand this. I am privileged. So I am not given, why I'm not given this, right? This opportunity. If they are standing in a queue, let's say you go to the bank, you stand in the queue. They want to jump the queue. They have 50 people in the queue. He is the 50th person to walk in, but he wants to be the first one to be served.
Allah.
What's so special about you? What makes you above the rest of the people? Your attitude. That you feel you are privileged. You need special treatment. But are all the people not equal? Are all the same, not the same people, same human beings? Should we be treated like, for example, if the same person is there and the teller calls somebody else in front of him, wouldn't he have a problem with that? When it comes to himself, nobody thinks. Now, as long as I'm sorted out, I don't have to worry. I'm first in the queue. Similarly, people sometimes may pay bribe to have this privilege. At that time, they are not thinking about the rest. For example, you are going to the hospital.
Right.
In the government hospital, people are not usually charged, but they would offer some bribe to the watchman or the security that's there. And he will make a plan for you and he'll put you right in front of the rest of the people that are standing in the queue from the morning. Right. Sometimes it goes like late in the afternoon, people are still waiting their turn. And here the person goes, he may not have such a major problem, but because he feels privileged, he wants to be first in the queue. Whereas the person who is a heart patient, the person who's suffering with stroke, the person who's got serious disease, anything could happen to him. But he is totally oblivious of the fact that there are others who are in need of help. He wants to be served first.
Allah.
For example, people are, sometimes we queue for food and there's somebody who can't wait. He's not that hungry, but he feels like, you know, it's not like me to stand and wait in queue.
Right.
He feels privileged. You know what? It's me. It's upon the ego. He wants to be served first. But he's still neglecting those people who are hungry, who are still in the queue, and he goes and cuts the queue. Therefore, if you go to certain supermarkets or banks, I've seen these signs that let the elderly people, you know, push them in front of the queue because they have a problem. They have a genuine problem that they can't stand for too long, right? Somehow on the wheelchair. So send them forward. So these are the things that are taught to us in one way or the other. But those of us who don't pay attention, we feel privileged and then we compromise the safety and the security and the comfort of the rest of us.
So, you know, so a selfish person wouldn't see it in that way. They don't feel that sympathy towards others, that empathy towards others. And this is so detrimental to them because, you know, human beings are, we are meant to be social, you know, and to not have these qualities, how do we connect with our fellow Muslims? You know, a selfish person, just take the example you've brought where they've, on that board sign, they've mentioned that let the elderly pass through first. And suppose there was a selfish person in there as well. He wouldn't have even worried about whether they are elderly or half dying, whatever the case. Maybe he would want to go spray right in the front to get his task done and then he has gone out. So, you know, the reason why he couldn't think of, you know what, they are elderly people. I need to think, let them go first and then I can wait. I'm still young. I'm still healthy. My body is still strong. I can wait in the line, no problem. But let the elderly go first. He wouldn't think that. Why? Because of selfishness. And this quality of sympathy and empathy gets blocked out from a person when such a person is selfish. Because, you know, Munasab, this quality of sympathy, you know, it's to acknowledge someone else's difficulty or to acknowledge someone else's pain, you know, or hardship. And empathy, on the other hand, is to literally, you know, feel someone's pain, to, as we say, to put yourself in someone else's shoes, to feel what they are going through. And these two qualities, they are so highly encouraged and motivated in Islam that if a person is selfish, then they would be deprived of the blessings of these two qualities, which is sympathy and empathy. Because through these traits, through these two characteristics and qualities, a person, he becomes more, people start to love him more. People will start to respect him more. Why? Because he has sympathy and empathy. But this would only be there if such a person is selfless. Then this quality can be there. But if the person is selfish, this quality cannot be there. Another example, Mohsab, is that, you know, another example is flattering people. You know, when a person, suppose that someone is doing something not 100%, is doing something in a way that it should not be done, right? But the selfish person knows that what he is doing is the wrong method he is using to do that kind of work. But yet he would still flatter him and tell him that, hey brother, what you're doing is right. Continue. You are doing perfect. You are doing right. Continue with it. Mm-hmm. Now the selfish person wants to see that person going down and doing it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Doing it the wrong method. A selfish person gets this sort of happiness in them. Why? Because they want to go front. They want to succeed and they want to push everyone behind them. So this is, you know, the downfall of being selfish and also one of those examples of, you know, when a person is selfish, then these are the different kinds of sins that are open with it. And one of them, as we've mentioned, is violating rights of people. And now we've mentioned, you know, flattering people as well. The other is oppressing people. Oppressing people is also, you know, showing that a person is a selfish person by oppressing. It can be anyone. It can be his brother. It can be his sister. It can be his friend. You know, his company that he keeps. Anyone that it could be. He oppresses others. And why it happens? Because of being selfish. No, I will hit this person. I will shout that person. I will make this person do what he is not even entitled to do. What he can't do, I will make him do. And that is in a way oppression, you know, because oppression is to place something which is not in its place. To put something, it's not meant to be there. That is oppression. And a selfish person does exactly that.
Allah.
Why? Because he wants that person to be behind him.
Allah. These are the very negative kinds of mindset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who have this compassion, humanity, empathy. Empathy, sympathy is recognizing the pain of someone. Empathy, on the other hand, is the feeling to be able to relate to someone.
Mm.
Like to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, for example. If you cannot understand the pain of other humans, fellow human beings, if you cannot understand the pain of fellow human beings, then you don't deserve the title of being human.
Mm. Mm. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. This is such a sensitive matter. And a person who's oppressive, he doesn't even register this pain and suffering that he puts people through. We need to take a very hard look at ourselves, whether we fall in the in those categories. Nowadays, say there are some psychological issues people also have, due to which they become cold-hearted. For example, personality disorders, borderline personality disorders, narcissistic personality disorders, and many other disorders that people suffer from. And many of the times, they themselves won't know that they have this personality type. And it's very hard to put it through to them that what they are doing is hurtful. Because to them, it's nothing. Like to an oppressive person, it's nothing to oppress someone. But if that person was put in the same situation, then he would know. Then he would know exactly how it feels. So therefore, we need to at times put ourselves in a situation. Think for a moment, if I was in that situation, what it would be like. So similarly, it is mentioned once someone is being oppressed. This person was being oppressed and someone just passed by and it didn't bother him. That means something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong if it doesn't bother you, even a little bit. So this person didn't bother him. And it was mentioned that flames were erupting from a grave and the deceased person was being tormented. The deceased person asked the angels, "Why are you beating me up? What have I done?" And the angel said, "Once an oppressed person asked you for help, but you did not help him. And once you offered salah without performing it."
Allah.
So this here, the points of concentration is, and a person was being oppressed and he asked you for help. To you, it didn't matter. You gave a deaf ear and you gave a blind eye. This matter. And today you are suffering from that same torment. Allahu Akbar. So to answer to the call of those who are being oppressed, it is very important. No matter where in the world we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the entire ummah is like one body. If one limb is hurt, the other must feel the pain. At least raise your hands in dua. Or do whatever you can in your capacity, in your capability. Today, as we speak, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in very different parts of the world, even it could be your neighbor, is going through different times, difficult times. And you know, before we have our dinner, our supper, why shouldn't we check on our neighbors? If they are okay, if they have fed, if they are fed, you know, they have enough. Allah. So those who are selfish, they will never think in this way.
Yes.
For example, a person like theft is very common. Like for example, those who are stealing copper pipes from the corporation, copper pipes that are installed to run the water system, the water supply system throughout the country. In South Africa, we have the same system. Around the world, it's the same system. And these copper pipes, they have certain value, monetary value. So you get some thieves who will cut these pipes. Maybe at times they can even cut the main pipes. not even realizing what difficulties they are putting thousands of people through.
Allah.
Just for few rands or few dollars, just to get their fix.
Just worried about themselves.
Yes. So they, by doing the first is destruction, is violating, it's stealing, it's haram. Secondly, putting thousands of people in inconvenience. Then at the time of Fajr, somebody doesn't have water to make wudu. Somebody can't have ghusl at the time of Fajr. They are in need of making ghusl. Somebody, you know, children, they need to go to school. They don't have water to bath. And all of this, it becomes a very terrible situation. Mm-hmm. And this is the realistic situation that we all go through. And it needs to be addressed. So that person, that individual who's cutting that maybe 1 meter, 2 meter copper pipe, and he wants to sell it, he won't get a fortune out of it, definitely. But by doing that, he is putting so many people's life at risk without even realizing.
Also, Munasab, you know, selfish people, they only maintain relationships with others, you know, for as long as they get some sort of benefit from them. And if they don't gain any benefit from them, then they look in the opposite direction. They look elsewhere. So we see here that, you know, we shouldn't be loving people or being with people just to gain something from them. Yes. You know, for example, if someone is rich, mashallah, someone has been blessed with wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are in the company of such a person, and if you love that person just because he got money and just because he gives you something, and you only focus that you're maintaining your relationship with that person only for this reason that you are benefiting from him. This is such a person being selfish. He is not worried about the well-being of that person. He is not worried about when the person gets sick or whether he is in hospital or if he is okay, if he ate. He is not worried about nothing. He is not worried about that rich person's life at all. The only thing he is worried about, a selfish person is worried about, is that I am in his company and I am gaining something, I'm gaining some money, or I'm driving this car of his, or I'm running this part of the business of his, etc., whatever it may be. If it's only for that reason, then such a person will not be gaining in reality, won't be gaining anything at all, you know, because he would be, first of all, he's selfish. And that's why the person's mentality and attitude is like that. Because he's in that person's company. Why? Just to gain something from him. And Islam does not teach us this. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that when we love someone, then love for the sake of Allah. This is how we need to make our mindset, that love someone not for the money that they have, not for the yes. car that they have, not for the clothes that they wear, not for the fancy house that they have. No, love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person will see much, much bigger rewards than being selfish and only using a person to gain something from them.
Oh,
this will, you know, eventually destroy a person, maybe not immediately, but sooner or later. Selfishness, you know, it's a trait, a negative trait. And it's a trait that doesn't take a person far in life. At some point, it always comes to an end, or it ends in a bad way, selfishness. But selflessness, on the other hand, yes, you're putting in that effort. Yes, you're going that extra mile to make sure that your fellow Muslim has something to eat. Yes, you went that extra mile to make sure that your fellow Muslim slept well, that whatever difficulties he was going through, you helped him with it. Yes, but the rewards of that are much, much greater than that short-term reward you will be getting by benefiting from others. So we need to make our mind in this way. We need to have this mentality and this attitude of selflessness. When this is there, then sympathy, empathy, looking out for others, seeing for the betterment of others. If someone is in difficulty, I'm going to help him out. And that is such a great reward, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the summary of this hadith is that when you remove a difficulty from your fellow Muslim brother, Then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulties as well.
Allah.
So we need to look at all of these things with a positive mindset, not being selfish, but by being selfless, insha'Allah. This is the kind of mentality that we need to adopt.
Allahu Akbar, Allah. Sayyidi, we need to take a very hard look at ourselves, whether we fall in this category, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to change for the better. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful kalam, Sayyidi. Phir Gumbad-e Khazra ki fazaon mein bulalo by our brother Noor Alam Attari. Together with that, a beautiful nasiha, a reward of initiative to apologize by our honorable Maulana Naushad Madani Hafizahullah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to listen to the kalam and the nasiha until we return. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, Madina, Madina. Phir ja rahe hain ahle mohabbat ke qafle, phir yaad aa raha hai Madina. Phir Madine, phir Madine ki janib chale qafle, phir meri beqarari ke din aa gaye. Khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, phir Khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, mujhe bula lo Shah-e-Madina, ye hijr ka gham sata raha hai, main dar pe yahi to armaan dil mein toofaan macha raha hai, phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo, सरकार बुला कर मुझे कदमों से लगा लो, सरकार बुला कर मुझे कदमों से लगा लो, कदमों से लगा कर मुझे दीवाना बना लो, कदमों से लगा कर मुझे दीवाना बना लो, दुनिया की महाबत को मेरे दिल से निकालो, दुनिया की महाबत को मेरे दिल سے نکالو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں یا نبی التجا ہے یہ میری موت مجھ کو مدینے میں آئے جان قدموں میں نکلے نبی کے اور وہیں مجھ کو دفنایا جائے مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو واسع الطارق ایمان بچا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری ہو در تک شہا رسائی نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو
Have you heard of the incident where Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions a blessed hadith, the summary of which is, it is not allowed for two Muslims to not be on talking terms for more than 3 days and nights. One day, Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhumah, they had some difference of opinion, there was something unpleasant that may have transpired, and they were not talking to each other. The great Sahabi Jalil, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he goes to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. He says, oh Imam, you know, I can't bear to see that you and your brother are not on talking terms. Please, you go to him, apologize, mend this relationship. You are the small brother. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what did he reply? Subhanallah. He says, if I did not hear the blessed narration that the one who initiates the mending of the relationship, the one who moves forward first to apologize and to bring back the relationship to a healthy status, that person will enter Jannah first. Then I would have gone to him. But I do not want to go to Jannah before my beloved big brother Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he goes to Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu anhu and informs him of this whole thing. And then the two of them, they reconcile, and it's a great lesson for us that the person who has this mindset, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, they are not talking to me, they're not phoning me, they're not inviting me home, I won't invite them. I won't phone them. I won't contact them. Do you really want to have regrets that you are going to live with for the rest of your life if that person passes away tomorrow? So let us try to make sure that nafsul ammarah, the ego, does not overpower us, does not overpower our minds. Let us break free from the shackles of the tricks and traps of shaitan and be the first to initiate the apology and to mend those ties. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers, subhanallah. We were just listening to the beautiful nasiha after the kalam, reward of initiative to apologize. You know, see, this also is kind of related to our subject of discussion, because in order for you to apologize, you need to feel the remorse that you have done something wrong. Right? You have to first accept that.
Right.
And then you apologize for it. And if you are full of yourself, you're not going to apologize to people.
100%.
You are the portrait and the picture of perfection. How are you going to apologize to somebody? Right? And this is what happens. When you consider yourself the center of the universe, right? And you feel like you deserve this, you deserve that, right? And you feel entitled, you feel privileged. And this is when a person is selfish, self-centered. So inshallah, this is not the way to be Islamically. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would encourage his sahaba, you know, when he would be seated and some elderly person came and nobody made space for him to sit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam observed this and he said, Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana wa lam yu'akhir kabirana. He is not one of us who does not show compassion to the youngsters and who does not show respect to the elders when nobody was making space for him to sit and make place for him. Allahu Akbar. So how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shows and teaches us to practically give others importance.
Subhanallah, that's so beautiful, Muhammad. And that is why it's so important for us to hold on to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hold on to the teachings of the Holy Quran, because these are our guidelines in our life. Through that we get guidance, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, you know, explains to us and teaches us that to be selfish is a very bad trait, but to be selfless is a good trait and a good conduct that a person should have. That is why it's very important that a person has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they remain away from this disease of selfishness and they are more towards being selfless people, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.